never would have seen this coming. I didn't expect it, and I'm his mother. I knew the promise. The angel told me that Jesus' kingdom would never end. But how? How would all of this happen? So, he's 30 now, and we were both invited to a wedding here in Cana. I hear from the master of ceremonies that they've run out of wine, and I have this feeling that Jesus can do something. I don't know what I'm expecting. I'm just expecting. Jesus tells the men to fill 6 large jars with water. Each jar could have served 100 people. The whole room was breathless, waiting to see what this carpenter from Nazareth was about to do. And then just as quickly as the jars had been filled, Jesus says to draw from them. The first cup is poured and taken to the master of ceremonies, and I see it, but I can't explain it. The water has turned into wine. My mind is perplexed, but my heart knows exactly what is happening. Jesus is exactly who he was prophesied to be. Every promise is true. From Isaiah to Moses, from Abraham to King David, from the Garden of Eden, where the serpent tricked his way into this world, God promised that one day a descendant of Eve would crush the serpent's head. I am a daughter of Eve, and my son is Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
You are worthy. 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 Welcome to Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman, and I'm so glad you are with me on this wonderful, wonderful day. It's been chilly, but we know it's warm with the Lord, and He loves us and cares for us. This is the program that focuses on the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give a shout out to somebody. He is one of our favorite guys on this program, Ray in Accutan. Welcome back. He got home, and we're so thankful. And just if you see Ray around town, say, glad to see you, Ray. Glad you're back. He'd been out for a little bit. So just wanted to give a shout out to Ray and hope you're doing well. You're going to enjoy it today, Ray. We've been doing Easter musicals to get us ready for the celebration of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church over there in Accutan, Alaska. We have a service at 1:30 p.m. I hope you're doing well. Tell me what's been going on. You can email me, MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N. Love to hear from you. Let's get right into our Bible study so we can get to the musical. We are in John chapter 19. We're continuing through the point where Jesus is now hanging on the cross. Let me read the passage, and then we'll discuss it for a minute. Let me pray first. Lord, bless this Bible study. Bless this time. Thank you for everybody out there, especially Ray, who's home now. And be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there stood, we're in John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Oh, thank you for this, Jesus. Blessed. All right, a couple of things. I know you love Mary out there, but let's look at this. So he's on the cross. He has to push up to breathe. His nails are in his hands and his feet. He pushes them with his own body weight against him to breathe. Now it says, now they're stood by the cross. So maybe the cross, don't think of the movies. Maybe it was probably closer to the ground. He looks out and he sees, first of all, his mother, Mary. Mary, you know, born of a virgin. Mary, the wife of Joseph. Mary, the one who had said in Luke, God, my Savior, when she found out she's going to be the one to birth Jesus. And his mother's sister, some people think they're the same person as Mary, the wife of Cleopas in the text. I think it's probably four people. So his aunt's there, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, a couple things, powerful stuff, because back then, men are generally the ones who are always the ones who are acknowledged. They don't really acknowledge women. But we know over here, just right after Jesus was arrested, if you turn back in the Bible to John chapter 12, John chapter 18. Look at what it says, verse number 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of Jews took him and bound him and led him away to Ananias, for he was his father-in-law, to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. The disciples are nowhere to be found. They're not standing up with Jesus. They're away. They didn't stay with him. But who is with Jesus? The women. This is a powerful statement about the value of women followers, that Jesus is not like the others. He loves women, and he loves they're there. His mother. Can you imagine his mother looking on him on the cross? His aunt. Imagine her. This other woman, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene, who from Luke chapter 8:2, we know demons came out of her. The power of Jesus to bring hope to women is powerful. Then we get to the next verse, and this is a couple. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, I wonder what Jesus felt. He knew the agony she's going through seeing her son on the cross. The next point, and the disciple standing by whom he loved. Three things about John. That's John the Baptist, or John the Apostle, not the Baptist. First of all, he he's writing this and he says, you know, I remember Jesus seeing me. How powerful is that, that Jesus on the cross still saw John? Do you know Jesus sees you? Do you know he sees you in your pain? No matter what you're going through, he sees you. Here he is in his, on the cross. He sees John. Next, he's called a disciple. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is someone that is obeying the truth. He is a disciple. Are you a disciple? Let's look at a couple of verses on being a disciple. John 8:12. How do I know that? I don't know. It's kind of John 8:31. Here's what it says about the disciple, being a disciple. John 8:31 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. A disciple continues in the word. It sets them free. Another thing is, but this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. A disciple will end up bearing fruit. You want your life to count for something? Well, then you need to know that Jesus can make your life count for something, because you'll bear fruit for him. Fruit that's going to last. The fruit of God Almighty. So, so powerful. But the fruit, that fruit that comes forth. Let's look if I have another one. He talks about, he sanctifies them by his truth. We get sanctified or purified by the truth of God. So those are some great, great, just incredible, incredible verses. John 8, 31 through 32. John 13, 35. John 15, 8. And then John 13, 22. A little bit more, but that's good. So are we a disciple of Jesus Christ? Next, think of all the ways John could have noticed Jesus, how Jesus related to him. Jesus, my master. Jesus, and he was. Jesus, my healer. Jesus, my, what would you say Jesus is to you? My teacher. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. See it? That disciple, it's John 26, whom he loved. The number one thing, John refers to himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know Jesus loves you? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, controls us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's so powerful. He motivated by the love of God. John says, you know, that's the one that loved me. In John 13, he had written, he'd love them till the end. Here's Jesus on the cross. He's like, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then you'll notice next, he says something. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And I think it's a little bit broader, because obviously he's talking from the cross. He has to pull himself up to enunciate any words, but he says, behold thy son. Well, wow. He is the son of Mary, the one born of a virgin, the one who existed in a time past, eternal, God in the flesh, the one who turned water to wine, the one who walked on water, the one who healed, the one who fed the 5,000, the one who told Lazarus by his words to come out of that grave. He is that one, the one who's dying on the cross, the one who rose from will rise from the dead. He is that one. He's like, behold, this is your son. And that's the one we believe in. And then he finishes up, then saith he to the disciple, talking to John again, behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her unto his home. John, Jesus, as the oldest son, he did have other brother and sister. Mary was not a perpetual virgin, tells John, take care of my mother. That's what the oldest son does. How you doing out there? Do you know that Jesus we've just looked at? That's so powerful. So incredible. Let me ask you a question. If you died tonight, do you know you go to heaven? Everybody's going to die. And God says, I asked the guy this week, I said, do you know what Jesus said when they asked him, what must I do the works? Well, the answer was to believe in him. Doesn't matter if you know what you should do. It matters what does Jesus say you should do. And he says, believe on not just God, but believe on me. The way you get to heaven is by believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall not die. You're going to live. Do you believe that? That's powerful. And if you want to believe in Christ right now, sin separates you from God. He died on the cross for sin. And the third day he got up, symbolizing you can have hope that death will not defeat you. Pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Oh God, I want to be saved by you. You're listening right now. You know you need to pray. Oh God, save me. I believe you died for me, rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has been Pastor Matthew. We just looked at powerful scripture of John chapter 19 about Jesus on the cross. We're going to continue that next week. But we want to finish off now with a wonderful, wonderful Easter musical, the resurrection one. And I trust it will encourage you. We're not going to get through all of it, but we'll get through enough to listen to this wonderful meditation on the cross of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'll see you next week. Now enjoy this special Easter musical.
Exist. I go to the well in the middle of the day when it's hot, when no one else would choose to be there. But today, as I'm drawing water, this Jewish man asks me for a drink. And I know I shouldn't talk to him, but as we've already learned, I'm not that great at following the rules. This man, he told me everything I ever did. He knew me. And not because of anything anyone had told him. He knew things that only God could know. He told me that whoever drinks from the water that he gives will never thirst again. And this water isn't just for men or rule-following women. This water is for anyone. Jesus offered me living water, and I said yes.
You can have my heart, you can have my full devotion. You can have my song, you can have my endless worship. See, I just want you, I just want
Jesus, Jesus, how could I ever thank you? Jesus, my freedom, how could I keep from praising? You've been so good to me, you've been so good to me.
Jesus, Jesus, how can I ever thank you? Jesus, my freedom, how can I ever keep from praising? You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me.
She was like the autumn breeze, so sweet and unexpected. We were older, and yet God had entrusted us to be her parents. She was everything to us. Then suddenly, she got sick.
The hour is dark.
We didn't know what was happening.
It's hard to see.
It started small, but it just wouldn't stop.
What you are doing here in the ruins, where this will lead.
We called for every doctor and we found nothing.
Oh, but I know
there was nothing we could do.
Down through the
A friend of ours told us about a man named Jesus,
I'll
a healer.
Look back on this moment,
he was
see your hand on
the only hope we had
know
left.
You were.
So I went to find him.
And I'll testify of the battles you won. How you were my portion when there wasn't enough. And I'll sing the songs of the waves that we've crossed.
I was standing next to Jesus.
Oh, it's a story I'll tell.
A message from home, your daughter is dead.
Oh, I know it is well.
When she died, I wasn't even there. Jesus says, take me to your house.
Believing it's hard when options are for you. When I can't see what you do, I know that you prove you're the God who comes through.
Was full of mourners, and my daughter's body was still there. Jesus says the little girl is not dead, only asleep. They laughed at him, but how can I not believe? How can I not hope? How can I not pray that this man, Jesus, is what I hope and expect? He removes everyone from the room and takes my wife and me into the room where she's still lying. He takes his hand and puts it in hers. Then he says, Talita kumi. Rise, little girl, I tell you, get up. And she does. She does. Oh, my God.
When I was 16, I used to sneak out of the house at night. The city is loud and disorganized, but we lived on the edge of town, so it was easy to sneak away. There was a valley that I'd walk to on many nights. It was calm and peaceful. I loved to listen. My mother used to tell me, "You're too easily influenced." I can still hear her voice in my head. I remember the first time that evil voice first spoke to me. I was older. I was in places that I'd rather not talk about, doing things that I'd rather not say. The city is a terrible place. It's dirty and it's so loud. This voice would come in and pollute my thinking, sometimes in a whisper, but sometimes in a scream. "You are mine." And I was. I couldn't stop hearing it. I couldn't shut it out. And as the years went by, more voices kept stacking on top of each other, one after the other. "You're nothing. No one wants you." 7 voices circling my head day and night, bickering for attention. "You're worthless. You'll never be free." The day I met Jesus, I was sitting on the side of the road like a piece of discarded trash, trembling with exhaustion. They told me, "Just give up. End this." Jesus didn't speak to me at first. He spoke to them. And with one word, he said, "Go!" And all of them were gone. And it was finally quiet again. When Jesus speaks, his voice is filled with compassion. He saw me. He loved me. And he set me free.
I was lost in my sin when he felt. Gave his
If you're enjoying this afternoon, let them know one more time. Will you do that? Aren't you glad it's not just stories that he actually raised the dead? He opened blinded eyes. He sets the captive free. And friends, the best news about all of this is he is still doing it today. Amen? Our God has not changed. And the story is more than a story. And we're so grateful for that. This afternoon, we're going to give you an opportunity right now to give in a free will offering. We do not charge in advance for any of our events here. We simply trust our guests that come to partake in this free will offering. And so we're going to give you that opportunity right now. Let me just ask before we take an offering, how many, this is the very first time you've been with us for a musical. Let me see your hands. Wave them at me. Will you do that? Help me welcome these first-time friends. And to all of you that have been here before, welcome back. We are so glad that you're here. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our opportunity to give today. Father, we're so grateful that you gave to us. You gave us your Son. Jesus, so grateful to you that you'd be willing to come on a mission that you knew full well would take your very life. And so we thank you, Lord, for every one of these accounts in Scripture. And Lord, the fact that they're not just fables, they're not just stories, but they are real men and women that you have changed their life. Thank you, Lord, for the change you've made in our lives and that you're continuing to do the very good work of heaven in our hearts and our lives. Lord, out of gratitude, we give to you this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give.
Hello, and happy Easter. We hope you are enjoying this performance. We wanted to take a few moments to let you know more about who we are as a church. Our mission is to reach our world for Christ as we lead individuals to discover and become who God created them to be. If you're looking for a church home, you're invited to one of our Sunday morning services at 8, 9:30, or 11 a.m. We can worship together in person and online at oakcreekag.org/live or our Facebook page. Every Sunday, we have kids' services at the same time for children ages nursery through fifth grade, where they can learn about Jesus in fun and interactive environments. We also have Sunday morning groups at 9:30 and 11 a.m., where you can learn and discuss biblical topics in a smaller setting. Then, on the second and fourth Sunday of each month, we have Sunday night services at 6 p.m. These services offer a new worship experience with more time for prayer and reflection around the church altar. We also have Wednesday night communities at 7 p.m. each week. These groups are for every age and stage of life, designed to help you connect with God and other people. See more details about our services and upcoming events in the program you receive as you enter the sanctuary. You're invited to celebrate Christ's resurrection with us next week. On Friday, April 15th at noon, we will have a special one-hour service remembering Jesus' journey to the cross. Then, on Easter Sunday at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m., you're invited to a special service with worship and a message from Pastor Jerry Brooks about the significance of Christ's resurrection. Plus, there will be photo booths and Cinnabons after each service. In September of this year, we are excited to move forward with our mission to reach our world for Christ under a new name, Discover Church. We will continue to open our doors wider to people all across our area who are genuinely seeking Jesus. Now, all of our theological foundations will remain the same. So while we will be getting a new name, we will still be the same church with an opportunity for even greater impact. To better serve you, we will also update our sanctuary and surrounding areas. For more details about this, you can visit the Discover Church display in the concourse or go to oakcreekag.org/discover-the-future. Thanks again for joining us. We believe you are not here by accident and that God has something to say directly to you. God bless, and we hope you enjoy the rest of this presentation, Not Just Stories.
The stories about this man Jesus were multiplying every day. He healed the sick. He forgave the sinner.
He raised Lazarus from the dead.
Everyone in Jerusalem was waiting for his return to the holy city.
We were waiting for his arrival.
People lined the streets, laying their garments on the ground to make a path for him.
We gathered palm branches and started waving them as he arrived. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is the King of Israel.
Let the name of Jesus be praised forever.
Like the world was beginning to receive him. They were beginning to understand who Jesus really was. Yes, he was my son. Yes, he was a carpenter. Yes, he was a rabbi. But if that was all that you were seeing, then you weren't really paying attention. Jesus was 100% man, but he was also 100% God.
The reason we were in Jerusalem was to celebrate Passover. Jesus had sent Peter and John to find a place while the women worked to prepare the meal. Passover is a very special time for all of Israel.
centuries before we were born, the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt. The God of Israel sent down plagues of wrath upon the land until the evil Pharaoh relented. The final plague was the death of every firstborn son.
We had one way to protect ourselves from this plague, and it required the slaughtering of a perfect lamb.
Each family would sacrifice a lamb and cover the doorposts of their home with its blood. And when the angel of death would see the blood, he would pass over that home, and that family would be spared. This sacrifice set our people free.
We thought that this was the Passover we were celebrating, but Jesus had a completely different lamb in mind.
I was with him at the table when he broke the bread and he poured the wine. I was right there when he said that one of us would betray him. Peter was furious. He couldn't believe that one of us would betray the Messiah. Jesus takes bread and dips it in wine and hands it to Judas, signaling that Judas was the betrayer. Judas runs from the room and, well, none of us know what to say. I was fishing with my brother James the day that I met Jesus. Jesus transformed my life. It was like every corner of confusion or emptiness was met with purpose and compassion. We were going to see Jesus reign as king over all of Israel. And he would reign as king. But it wasn't going to happen the way that we thought. Later that night, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was late and we were already exhausted. Jesus said, "Remain here and pray." And he went on ahead of us. There was something so heavy on him. Like he knew every word that would be spoken that night. Like he saw every step and he kept choosing to take them. When he came back, he was so disappointed. He was so disappointed with us. We had fallen asleep. And by the time that he came back, we were already surrounded. We were surrounded by them.
"I am a servant of the high priest Caiaphas. I am not a military officer, and I should not have been there. The arrest of Jesus of Nazareth was an unlikely partnership between the Roman government and Jewish leaders. I was there to make sure everything went according to plan. But it didn't. Jesus was going to come peacefully, but one of his men wouldn't have it. This disciple draws his sword and comes charging at the company of Roman soldiers. I don't know how I ended up so close to him, but I'm the one that he struck. His sword cut my right ear clean off. I thought I was dead. I'm face down in the dirt trying to cover my wound when I hear Jesus say, 'Enough!' Jesus walks over. He puts his hands on my head. I can't explain it. It's as if goodness was a feeling. As if goodness had flowed into my body. I had to reach up and feel my ear to understand what had happened. Jesus healed my ear. We came with clubs and swords to escort this man to his death. And Jesus healed me."
What happened next is harder to explain, mostly because we weren't there. They took Jesus to Caiaphas, to Herod, to Pilate. Any excuse for this night to end with a crucifixion. I went to find Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary of Magdala. If our Savior was going to die on a cross, we were going to find a way to be there with him.
"My people have turned violence into an art form. It's not so much that a man has to die. It's how he feels as he dies and how you feel as you watch him. We know that if you strike a man 40 times with an iron-tipped whip, he will perish. So when Pilate orders Jesus flogged, we strike him 39 times. It's about as much mercy as you'll get from the Roman government. We know that shame is often worse than physical pain, which is why we strip Jesus of his clothes and we shove a crown of thorns down upon his head. 'All hail the King of the Jews,' we mock him. We know that if you hang a man on a cross with nails in his hands and in his feet, it will take him hours to die. And that agony is the point. But nothing about Jesus' crucifixion was normal. You see, when you hang a man on a cross, his lungs begin to fill with fluid, making it virtually impossible for him to breathe or to even speak. One has to pick himself up by the very nails he's hung by just to catch a breath. It's excruciating. But I remember everything that Jesus said. He said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.' He forgave the sins of a man on a cross hanging next to him, and that man was a criminal. He had compassion upon his grieving mother. He cried out to God, and when it was done, he said, 'It is finished.' when he breathed his last breath, the very ground beneath our feet began to shake. It's almost as if the earth understood something that we were just now beginning to comprehend. Surely, the man that we had just crucified was the Son of God.
We were there when he breathed his last.
My son, hanging on that cross.
My savior, captured by death.
We asked for permission for his body. A man named Nicodemus and a man named Joseph offered us a tomb nearby, a place where his body could be taken.
We wrapped his body in long sheets of linen cloth. We soaked the fabric in perfume, spices. The Sabbath was coming quickly. We didn't have much time.
We took him to the tomb and we left him there. It was over. It was done.
Oh.